stir me from my slumber. I'm the Eternal Dragon. Now make your first wish. Your wish has been granted. Here is your host, Tim Bridgewater.
Hello, 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 everyone. Welcome to episode 41 of Rock the Dragon, a Dragon Ball Super podcast. I'm your host, Tim Bridgewater. Here we go. We just kind of wrapped up this whole Destroyer tournament. I'm very excited to see where things go from this point on. Obviously, I gave a lot more details of my feelings about everything that kind of happened during this arc in episode 40. So make sure you go back and check that out if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that yet. But I'm pretty cautiously optimistic here. So that must mean something, right? Once again, my name's Tim Bridgewater. I hosted two podcasts, another one called Geekly Dose. We talked about everything geek, as well as one called Republic City Report, which was a Legend of Korra podcast. You can still find both of those up on iTunes as well as Stitcher.com. Now, I'm going to start this off a little bit differently. We're going to actually do some news here. We've got some good news and we've got some bad news. Okay, so just in sort of a traditional sort of a way, we're going to save the good news for a second. Because, well, that's just, you know, we can end it on a better note. Bad news, and then some of you guys have probably already heard about this, but if you didn't, I just want to take a few moments to acknowledge Hiromi Tsuru, who is the voice actress for Bulma in Japan for about 31 years. Tragically, she actually passed away a couple days ago. This is something I just stumbled upon when I was on the internet. Kotaku.com, I'm going to read a quick little report that they did on it. Says here, and this was a few days ago, says here, yesterday evening, Hiromi Tsuru was discovered unconscious in a car along the Shuto Expressway in Tokyo. The vehicle was stopped, the hazard lights were on, and Tsuru was still wearing her seatbelt. According to Asahi News, the famed voice actress was rushed to the hospital where she was pronounced dead. Tsuru was only 57 years old. There were no external wounds and no sign of an accident. Police believe it's highly likely she died from an illness. And then later on, there was an update November 17th at 6:30 a.m. that it was reported that she died from an aortic dissection. Terrible, terrible news. Always, always, always sad to hear about this kind of stuff happening, you know, to anyone. Obviously, this woman is a legend. It's no secret that I didn't watch the Japanese dub, you know, for the most part, just throughout my experiences with Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, outside of clips I used to watch on YouTube. And every now and then, I would go and buy sort of a bootleg, you know, Japanese dub of a movie just to get my hands on something, right? Just to sort of be, to satisfy my curiosity to see what it was. So, obviously, I mean, this woman has been doing the voice of Bulma for over 30 years. So that's tragic. It's very sad. I want to send out any and all positive thoughts out to her family and all the Dragon Ball fans that have been affected by that. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of production of Dragon Ball Super. Obviously, at some point, once the episodes catch up or whatever, we can only assume they're going to find another voice actress. Because the show must go on, but that's pretty tragic and sad. And as far as I can tell, it just seemed to be one of those random things, you know, just one of those random sort of things that it just comes unexpectedly. I mean, she was in her car, the vehicle was stopped, the hazard lights were on, and she was still wearing a seatbelt, you know. So, nothing but positive thoughts out to her, and thank you so much for bringing the character of Bulma to life. For me and every other Dragon Ball fan out there, you know, this, my life would not be what it is today without Dragon Ball Z. So just know that you were a very big part of making the lives of several generations of people better. And I hope that you're resting in peace on Snake Way right now. One more little piece of news, and this was actually brought to my attention. It was an update from Kakarot's Bane Facebook page. Thank you for reminding me of this. Is that Christopher Ayers, the voice actor for Frieza in Dragon Ball Super and Dragon Ball Kai, he's been having some health problems as well. This is something I mentioned on some amount of episodes back of the podcast, but as an update on him, he has COPD. So he's, I think he's on a donate. He was trying to get donations for a lung transplant. He does actually have a donation page that's set up on youcaring.com/Christopher Ayres. That's AYRES. I'm looking at the page right now, and they had a $25,000 goal, and it's currently at $34,594. So that's great. They've raised more than enough money than what he was asking for this. So that's fantastic. I can only, it seems as if it's still open though. So if anyone wants to donate any more to make it even easier for this actor to recover and get back to doing what he's great at, then that'd be great too. So that's just a little news on that. Okay, so I told you I had some good news too, so we can pep ourselves up a little bit here. Okay, I'm going to announce a giveaway now, and it's not the same giveaway that I've been sort of teasing for the past, you know, however many episodes of the podcast. This is actually a different one. Okay, I'm still going to do the other one, but the more I began to think about what I wanted to do for a giveaway, which I can probably say is going to be sort of a typical sort of thing in terms of sharing and liking the page and sharing a post and, you know, the standard sort of giveaway things that you see on Facebook all the time. Because, well, if I'm trying to build the podcast audience, that's probably one of the best ways to do it. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it's not as fair for the people who have been listening to the podcast already to do a giveaway like that, right? Because if I did sort of a like and share sort of a giveaway, then there stands to reason optimistically there would be a bunch of people who've probably never heard the podcast before sharing and liking the posts and on the page just so they can win, right? Which is fine, but it's not exactly fair, I feel, to make it more difficult for those of you who have already been listening to the podcast to have to deal with that, right? Because you guys have been listening this whole time, or at least recently, and for some unknown person to come out of nowhere to happen to win a giveaway just because they happen to be the random name that was picked, just a little bit unfair to y'all. So here's what I'm going to do. I want to do a giveaway for the people that have liked the page already and have also left me an iTunes review, okay? So if you have already liked the Facebook page and you have already left me a review, then you don't have to do anything else. You're already entered into the giveaway. If you've already done one of those two, then you want to do the other one so that I can verify it and you can be entered as well. Right now, I have about 17 reviews on iTunes. So that's really good odds, guys, because I have more listeners than that. But I have to find a way to sort of verify and check it. And I have to, you know, it has to be some sort of a call to action in order for this to sort of work out. So I know what you're wondering. Well, what is the giveaway? What is the prize here? And it's going to be one of the SH Figure Arts Bandai Tamashii Nation's Super Saiyan, God Super Saiyan Vegeta from Dragon Ball Super action figure. Okay, so if you know anything about Bandai and SH Figure Arts, you know these guys make really detailed action figures. And they made one for Dragon Ball Super of Super Saiyan Blue Vegeta. He's extremely poseable. He comes with different hands. You can do the Final Flash hands. You can do the Big Bang Attack hands. You can pose him pretty much however you want to. It's pretty detailed. He looks just like the way Vegeta looks right now on the show. So basically he has his Whis armor on, but he's got the Super Saiyan Blue hair. I don't think you can change out the faces and the hair on this one, but you can definitely change out the hands. Okay, so there will be photos of this figure over on facebook.com/RockTheDragonPodcast. So in the spirit of Thanksgiving, because that's next week, I want to say thank you to my fans, to you guys who've already been listening and writing in and leaving reviews and just tolerating me, putting up with me every week. I want to give you guys something to say thank you, okay? So once again, for a chance to win that figure, make sure you have liked the page and have left me an iTunes review. If you've already done that, you're good to go. But if you haven't, then you want to go over there and leave the review or like the page, whichever one you haven't done already. Okay. So right now, hell, if one more person enters this thing, that's a 1 out of 18 chance in winning this figure. Okay. Incredibly good odds. So get over there, like the page, leave me a review. I think it's pretty safe to assume we will not have an episode of Dragon Ball Super next weekend, because that just seems to be the American sort of tradition here, is that when there's a holiday, we don't get an episode. Okay. So that means I'm going to give you guys 2 weeks to get your a review and your like on the page. So when we come back to episode 42, I'll have a winner ready to announce, and then you guys will get your figure in time for, you know, well before Christmas. So yeah. So I hope you guys are excited about that, and it's just a big thank you from me and Rock the Dragon Podcast for you guys kind of just being here for 40 plus episodes and being supportive and being a great crowd. So go over and do that if you haven't had a chance to yet. All right, now that was a lot of stuff. Okay, so yeah, with that being said, I don't have any emails for this week, but obviously you can always email me at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com for our segment title, What Are You Saying? So that's if you just have any questions or comments about anything like that, send me an email there. I don't have any new iTunes reviews, but I'm hoping that will have changed by the time I come back for the next episode. Very easy giveaway for you guys. Okay, so with that being said, I'm just going to go ahead and jump into the episode talk for this week. Of course, this episode of Rock the Dragon Podcast, episode 41, is going to cover episode 41 of Dragon Ball Super, titled Come Forth, Divine Dragon, and Grant My Wish, Peas and Carrots. Now, as we talked about before, the very end of the previous episode ended with what could have been a cliffhanger or a mystery, but it kind of wasn't, because if you watched the preview for the next episode, they pretty much told you who this person was. There's this little being that appears with his two associates, and we're very quickly told that this is Grand Zeno, who is essentially the king / ruler of all 12 universes. So that's pretty huge. As far as we know, that is as far as this thing goes. Whether or not there's someone over him or not, we don't know. But that's pretty big. Okay. So the question is, at this point, everyone's wondering, well, why is he here? What is going on? You know, if Beerus and Chomp are starting to kind of lose their shit over it, then that gives you an idea of how powerful this being is. And you know, there's not a lot to really dissect about this. Beerus and Chomp just kind of rush down. They kind of bow, and you know, they're being super, you know, subservient here. And what I thought was funny about this is that, you know, Grand Zeno pretty much reveals why he's here. And he's saying that, you know, you guys had a fight. And this is something that, you know, you think he would have wanted to know about. And he says, you didn't really tell me about it. But what's the most astonishing thing to me is that this is essentially like this person just is like a kid. It's like a little kid. I mean, that is what this is coming across as. He seems to be really nice and just sort of childlike, which, you know, if you look back at the history of the world and monarchies and all this kind of stuff, and you know, that kids can be kings too. You know, so I don't know if it's technically a kid or if that's just what that species is like. You know, this being, he could be so, you know, omnipotent that it doesn't even matter what his sex or age is. Maybe this is just how he talks and how he is. And maybe it's not even a he. I don't know. But it's definitely something. But it seems very nice. So everybody's just kind of like, you know, freaking out and saying, why are you here? And he's saying that you guys didn't tell me about the tournament and all that kind of stuff. And he kind of comes down on Beerus and Chomp a little bit, saying that they're, as destroyer guys, they're not really doing enough destroying. Obviously, there's a reason why that's important. I mean, they're the gods of destruction. There must be a certain quota of destruction that must be handed out for some reason in terms of balance in the universe or something like that. Of course, Goku rushes over because he's Goku, and he's going to he's going to jump the gun. He's going to speak out of turn. He causes everybody to freak out because they're like, you should not even be here looking upon Grand Zeno, let alone you know, speaking to him. But, you know, Goku just has that way of just like making everyone feel comfortable and, you know, because he's so childlike and he's so innocent. And, you know, even as a grown ass man, he maintains that innocence, you know. So, yeah. And as far as we can tell, Grand Zeno seems to like him a lot. Now, what I thought was funny about some of this is how quickly Whis and Vados just kind of start to sell out Beerus and Champa. Because Whis is like, yeah, you know, he hasn't really been, he's been more concerned with napping than he has been about destroying things. And then Vados even says something like that about Champa. And I just thought that was kind of funny. But it just goes to show that they're not, that they answer to, you know, Grand Zeno, not necessarily to Beerus and Champa, which I think is cool. So, you know, that we just get this sort of exchange. But the most important thing to come away from this conversation that happens here is that Grand Zeno watched some of the fight. So he gets the idea that we can do this on a bigger scale. We can have a tournament between all 12 universes as opposed to just two of them like they did here. So rest assured that at some point that's going to happen. So that's cool, you know, and what I like about this, and trust me, you know, even though I don't watch the Japanese dub, there are still things that I do know that will happen. And I know that there are more tournaments that will come along later. And I know that some of them do involve multiple universes and things such as that. So I don't know if that's the same tournament that's being alluded to here or not, but we know that it's coming. And in a way, it's kind of refreshing. I mean, because while we have always gotten tournaments in the Dragon Ball series, they've always kind of been like these side stories, right? They haven't been like they've been happening while something bigger is going on or something like that. And I think this is a very cool way to sort of break the monotony of having every arc be about a new villain coming to Earth trying to destroy Earth. Because for the most part, that was Dragon Ball Z in its entirety. Every couple years, a new villain would show up or, you know, pop up out of nowhere to destroy Earth or try to kill Goku. So it seems like with Dragon Ball Super, even though they've already done that twice, they've done it with Beerus and then they did it with Frieza. But now they're saying, okay, here's our opportunity to maybe try something different. And maybe we can still get the action and the fighting that we want. Maybe the stakes won't be the same in terms of like Earth being threatened, but it just gives us a different perspective. And I kind of like that. So we get all that. And we also get Majin Buu wakes up, which, man, I fucking forgot that he was even there. I don't understand the point of any of that. I'm not sure why they even brought him up. Like, from a writing and a story perspective, I don't understand why Majin Buu was even there, because he didn't do anything at all. So it just makes me wonder what was the decision behind that from a story perspective to bring him there, because he hasn't really contributed to anything. But let's get on with it, right? They have to, part of the stipulations for being able to, for being the victor of the tournament here, is that you get all 7 of the Super Dragon Balls. Well, you get all 6, because at the time that's all they had, and then you get to make a wish, right? So we sort of go back to that. Bulma's got the Super Dragon Radar and she's reminding Beerus, look, please don't wish for anything bad, because that was one of her biggest concerns when this whole thing came about. And he kind of says, you know what, I don't listen to mortals, but at this point they can't find the dragon, the 7th Dragon Ball, without her. So, you know, he kind of agrees, sure, let's do it. And Monaka actually comes in handy here too, which is good, because I could say the same thing about him that I said about Majin Buu. For the most part, he didn't really serve a purpose, okay, other than getting Goku and Vegeta to come to the tournament. But they kind of bring him back around here and he kind of helps them think about the search for the 7th Dragon Ball in a different way. He's saying that you got to think about it 3-dimensionally. And Bulma is looking at the Dragon Radar and they see a cluster of all the Dragon Balls in one spot, the spot where they are, because they've been surrounded by these Super Dragon Balls the whole time. But all 7 of them are there on the radar. But when they look around, they only see 6 of them. So then they start to think about it, and then we says, oh, okay, and now he gets it. So they get into the little I forget what that thing is called, the little thing that makes them able to travel throughout space without dying. And then they kind of go up into the air, and this is where it starts to come together for all of us, right? And I have to say, this was one of the best pieces of writing this entire series. I mean, you know, it's just kind of like this interesting sort of plot twist that we've been wondering about the seventh Dragon Ball this entire time. Turns out this planet that they were on was the seventh Dragon Ball. And I thought that was pretty cool. I mean, I you know, for a show that has not been known for like great writing, when they have those moments where things kind of click, then it makes me excited. So I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, they give a quick sort of explanation about it, and saying that, I think it's Piccolo who says that, you know, with this Dragon Ball, has probably been here for a while, and it probably collided with an asteroid, and that the debris from the asteroid covered it up. And that sounds like a good explanation to me. So they don't even have to go look for the thing because it was there the entire time right in front of their faces. So, you know, Whis does something and just kind of uses his abilities to kind of destroy that rocky surface of the planet, which is the last Super Dragon Ball. And they all kind of gaze upon it. And now it's time to make a wish because, they've got them all gathered there. So, but remember, there was a secret sort of phrase. There's always a phrase that needs to be uttered or said in order to make these dragons come out. And this is where they do a fairly good job of tying in what I felt was a throwaway episode. That episode with Master Zuno, remember that one? Go back and listen to my review of that one. I pretty much hated that episode. And while this does come in handy, that episode was still terrible. but at least they did a good job of kind of tying this in, because Bulma, thanks to that visit to Master Zuno, Bulma has the phrase to say to make this super divine dragon come out, which is once again the title of the episode, Come Forth Divine Dragon and Grant My Wish, Peas and Carrots. Okay, yeah, I mean, it's kind of silly, but that's kind of a Dragon Ball thing. I mean, you know, it's Dragon Ball. But of course they have to translate it a couple ways and things, and because it has to be said in a divine language. So I think Beerus translates it to and tells Whis, and Whis is the one who ultimately makes the call, I believe. So then we just kind of get this epic sequence that goes on for maybe a little longer than it should. I mean, I guess they were really just trying to show the scale of this thing, and boy, do they show the scale of this thing, because we get like this whole sequence of, you know, the Dragon Balls coming together and all this bright light. And I mean, this dragon is massive, you know, just to kind of skip ahead, because really, I mean, it's just a bunch of flashy stuff going on. I can't really, you've seen it, but they end up in essentially being inside of the dragon, and it's not exactly sure explained why that is. But, you know, Whis just kind of reassures them that it's necessary to interact with the dragon, maybe just because the dragon is just so big that, you know, this is the best way to interact with a much smaller version of it, that I don't know. If there's something that I missed about that, which is very much possible, send me an email at rockthedragonpodcast@gmail.com, because I didn't really dissect it. I just kind of took it for what it was. But basically, you know, they get a wish, and this dragon is way more powerful than Shenron. Okay, this is a dragon who can grant, you know, things beyond Shenron's capabilities. So it's interesting to try to find out exactly what that wish is going to be. And well, you know, Beerus is the one making the wish because Universe 7 won the tournament. So we get a moment where he makes a wish, and it's in another language, so we don't know exactly what he's wishing for. And what I thought was kind of cool, because they kind of brought it back around, because these were some questions that I know for sure that I, some things that I kind of brought up on previous episodes, was when they first decided they were going to announce this whole tournament, when they told us why they were doing it, as far as Universe 6 not having an Earth anymore and Champa wanting the food from Universe 6. And I was saying, well, why don't they just use the Super Dragon Balls to wish his planet Earth back. But of course, this was back before they had the seventh Dragon Ball, so I guess they couldn't have done it then, but it was something that was brought up. So I think it's cool how they kind of brought it back around by having Beerus wish Universe 6's planet Earth back. Because we get this kind of like this pretty cool scene between Vados and Champa, and you know, and she tells them that, you know, their Earth is back, and they sort of deduce from all of that that Beerus must have wished it back. Now, it's kind of a sweet sort of a gesture, right? And you think about it like that until they say, no, he just wants to have something to hold over me. He just wants me to owe him in the future, which kind of makes a little bit more sense given their relationship. But it's still kind of a cool sort of moment in the series, and it kind of made me feel like, oh, well, that was kind of nice of him to do that, right? I would hope that at some point in the future we get to check out Universe 6's Earth and just see what it's like. I mean, you know, I think the smart thing to do from a writing perspective would be to use that in the future, you know, as a story arc or something. It's like, okay, this is Universe 6's Earth. Let's see how different or similar it is to Universe 7. And, you know, maybe we'll get some future villains from there or something like that. I don't really know. But I thought it was very cool. So at this point, everybody's just kind of, you know, it's just time for them to go home. So we kind of just, you know, we end up back on Beerus's world for a minute. Goku wants to fight Monaka because apparently he's still under the impression that Monaka's super strong, when they've more or less confirmed that he was just brought in, you know, as a bullshit sort of reason to to get Goku and Vegeta to compete in the tournament. But Monaka doesn't leave empty-handed. His time is very much rewarded by a bunch of treasures and gold and stuff like that from Beerus. So yeah, that is basically where this episode comes to a close. Everyone's just kind of on their way back to Earth. So I guess in 2 weeks we will see what happens next. As with most of the arcs, there's usually some downtime in between, you know, before they start the new one. So maybe we'll just get a couple filler-ish type episodes. I don't know. That will sort of maybe show us what Gohan has been up to. Maybe there'll be some training that happens. Maybe it'll just be some fun and good times. Hopefully, whatever it is, it'll be interesting and still good, though. You know, because, yeah, there were some episodes in Dragon Ball Z filler-wise that weren't the greatest. Even though I appreciate every episode they've ever made of the show. But I really liked earlier this season when they had that episode where it was just kind of about Mr. Satan. You know, it'd be cool to see them just kind of spin an episode with one of the other characters for a while, because, man, look, we all love Goku and Vegeta, but shit, can we please spend some time with some other characters for a little bit? I mean, everyone else is being neglected. Okay, and they've been neglected since Dragon Ball Super started, and we're 41 episodes in now. Okay, so let's spend some time with someone else, but let's make it worthwhile too. So yeah, hopefully we'll get that. At this point, I have no idea what comes next. I don't. So I'm excited. I hope you guys are excited. Thank you for sticking with me through all these episodes. Remember the giveaway once again. All you have to do is like the Facebook page and leave me a review. Some of you have already done that. Now, when it comes to choosing the winner, I'm going to choose it from the iTunes reviews, because that's the only way I can know for sure that you at least did that, right? So then at that point, we'll just match it up with whoever, you know, the Facebook like, and then I'll just choose a winner based on that. Right now, there's only 17 reviews. If in 2 weeks there's still only 17 reviews, well, guess what? One of you 17 guys, as long as you've done both those things, will win that Vegeta figurine. So I just want to take a moment and say thank you, guys. And everyone have a fantastic Thanksgiving, if that is something that you celebrate. You may not live in North America, so that may not apply to you. But whatever holidays you do have coming up, have a great time. Be very safe. Thank you for listening. So until next time, for Rock the Dragon Podcast, I'm Tim Bridgewater, and I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, where we will announce our winner, the giveaway. Bye.